Angela.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I know I'm great.
Y'all ready for roll call?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm going to call out these names. If you hear, just say yes or here or present. Where is Ladidi Mekonkan? Mekonkan.
Oh, Ladd McConkey. Oh,
there he is.
Today's guests, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Eagles running back Saquon Barkley, actor Taron Killam, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show before the bulk of Week 2 NFL activity. Another college football weekend in front of us. Lots to talk about on this program, certainly with you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'm sure a lot of folks out there have an opinion on what we saw last night and the aftermath of it, of the opener of Thursday Night Football in Week number 2. Tom Pelissero of the National Football League Network. He'll be joining us in his usual Friday spot to tell us all that he knows about what we've seen and what we're going to see and who we might not see over the weekend. Saquon Barkley of the Philadelphia Eagles will zoom in hour number 3 at the very top. So make a note of that before the top performer, in my eyes, of Week number 1, fresh off of the Eagles' win in Brazil. He had 3 touchdowns in his first game as an Eagle. He and the Eagles will host the Falcons to wrap up Week number 2 on Monday Night Football. That's hour 3. The hilarious and talented Taron Killam, formerly of Saturday Night Live fame, he is going to be joining us in studio. He's a diehard Rams fan in hour number 3. It's a What's More Likely Friday, and our usual drill for hanging out together to get you ready for a football weekend. Chris Brockman, good to see you over there, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Okay. DJ Mikey D, as in D's Nuts, is not here. So Jay Felly's in his chair. Good to see
here,
you guys.
Here, coach.
Good. I mean, that was hilarious yesterday, right? I mean,
it was
as good as it gets with Keegan-Michael Key. TJ Jefferson, the candle is lit over there. Good to see you, sir.
Candle's lit. I'm still tripping off yesterday's antics.
Ladidi Mekonkan.
L-I-M.
It's all good. Everybody should seek that out. It's a good laugh, and we can obviously all use a laugh
for
these
sure.
days.
No doubt. My favorite show to ever do is Richard Eason.
There it is.
So that's
later on. And as I mentioned, there's a lot going on in the NFL, and once again, the toy department of the sports world. And certainly the National Football League world. That's what my college professor at the Medill School of Journalism, when I told him I wanted to do sports, the great Lou Prado, who's a diehard Penn State guy, I'd be psyched that I have Saquon Barkley on today. He said to me, "You want to work in the toy department, huh, Rich?" And
did he mean by that?
Because sports is the toy department. The news is like not about toys, it's about real life, and sometimes real life crashes into the toy department.
Sometimes.
And it happened again last night amongst the conversation about how poor the Dolphins looked on offense and how great the Buffalo Bills were performing and how the Bills once again were coming into Miami and looking like they were going to come away with their 14th win in their last 16 visits, and they did. And we'll talk about the Bills, because nobody expected them to start the season 2-0 based on all of their offseason changes. But in the midst of all that, Tua Tagovailoa already having thrown 3 interceptions in the game, including a pick 6 that he threw in the third quarter. The other 2, I don't think were really on him, if you just want to quickly stray into the football world. But on a 4th-and-4, with about 4.5 minutes to go in that third quarter, the offensive line, the middle of the offensive line, opens up a hole for Tua, who was struggling to get the ball to Tyreek Hill and his receivers on the night, and Tua decides to run for it. And last year, Tua Tagovailoa, in his season that everyone was wondering if he could stay healthy in because of his previous concussion issues and how he was taking jiu-jitsu and he was being more mindful of sliding and not taking hits in the pocket and knowing how to fall. I think just the way that the evening was going for him and him wanting to make a play, kind of forgot about all that. and instinctively dove headfirst for the first down. And you want to talk about irony. Collides with DeMar Hamlin, of all people. And it was clear and obvious to everyone that Tua Tagovailoa suffered a concussion. The fencing response, and we're all becoming concussion experts, certainly, unfortunately, it involves Tua. Again, you could just ask anyone who's an expert at this. The fencing response, when somebody is concussed, their arms come straight up in the air, or in the case of Tua, your fingers can splay out. And the problem is, in the years in which a lot of folks were not completely attuned to the symptoms of a player who's just been concussed, when the arms come up, a lot of the teammates would think that their concussed teammate was asking to be picked up off the ground, and they would just yank a player up when they should just leave him be. But it's clear. I mean, we all saw it. We all got sick on the spot. We all did, watching Thursday Night Football. We knew it. You saw it. His head collided with Hamlin's torso and lower half, and it's just an unfortunate circumstance. Not dirty. It's just a guy going headfirst, trying to make a play for his team, down 21. And I think he just lost his sense of self-protection in that moment. And now we're wondering what's next. Because in his history, in week three of 2022, week three, against the Bills, by the way, in one of the two times the Dolphins have actually beaten the Bills in their last now 16 visits to Miami. You remember Tua in the second quarter clearly was staggered by a hit, left the game. It was called a back injury. He came back in the second half, and everyone's wondering, wait a minute, how did he come back in the game? And there was a whole conversation about what the Dolphins did and whether the independent neurologist that's at the game that's supposed to protect a player from this return to play when he shouldn't clearly return to play. And that was a whole national conversation. And sure enough, Tua started 4 days later on Thursday Night Football in Cincinnati, and the whole country saw what happened in the second quarter, that Tua was not fortunate enough to, as he did on that week three or last night, walk off the field. He was taken off the field on wheels and went to the hospital, and we were all freaked out. And sure enough, he didn't return until week seven. And we were all wondering, should he even do that? There were people who were even wondering, you know, what's he doing playing? And sure enough, week 16, Dolphins looked like they're going to the playoffs, which they did make because Tua played so well. And he got concussed against the Packers and did not play the rest of the season. Skylar Thompson, who took over last night, was the one who played in the playoffs for the one and done to Dolphins. And then last night, the photograph we have chosen to use on the screen is the one that I think is enduring, which is Mike McDaniel kissing Tua Tagovailoa on his head. I mean, and we all know what their relationship is. We talked about it last year when I chatted with both of them before their game in Germany against Kansas City. Their relationship, we all heard in Tua's comments about his previous coach and the current coach, and how McDaniel has thrown an arm around him. And now he gave him a kiss coming off the field, and all of us are wondering, is that a kiss goodbye? Should it be a kiss goodbye? Mike McDaniel today, meeting with the media, was asked what he told Tua as Tua was coming off the field.
I told him he's the starting quarterback of his family, and that to go in the locker room, take a deep breath, and I'll see you soon.
Mm. Yeah. Tua's got a young kid. As a matter of fact, when I chatted with him in Germany, he had a little toy with him, a little doll toy in the palm of his hand, because he likes to take it on the road when he's not around his kid. So, also today, McDaniel was asked the question we're all asking, should he retire? And this was his response. Give it a listen. It's a long one.
I think it would be so wrong of me to even sniff that subject, and it's more in line of actually caring about the human being, and you know, that's something that entirely you're talking about his career, right? His career is his, you know, and that's something that I think I just really, really, really wish. I totally understand it, and it's not misplaced. I totally get how that's where people want to go to. I just wish that people would for a second hear what I'm saying, that bringing up his future is not in the best interest of him. So, you know, I'm going to plead with everybody that, you know, that does genuinely care, that should be the last thing on your mind, because you don't, like, what do you think that's, if I would answer that question, I'd be like, all right, this is my thoughts on his career. And he read it. If he agreed with it or he disagreed with it, either way, I've just made him worse. So I'm not taking this opportunity to just, I don't think it's appropriate, simply because of my care and regard. And I don't think, those types of conversations, when you're talking about somebody's career, I think it probably is only fair that their career should be decided by them.
No doubt. Tua has two children. He's got a son, Ace, and a daughter, Maisie. He's 26. Let me get this right. He'll turn 27 next March. Just signed, as we all know, a monster deal. Major contract. Paying him $55 million a year on average. And, you know, with all due respect to Mike McDaniel, I understand where he's not answering that question as his coach, and how he's pleading everybody to not have this conversation right now. But for the rest of us who are fans, and fans of Tua, or just fans of somebody who's someone to root for, like Tua, it's tough not to sit here and think the guy should never play football again. Now, again, we're not the guy. He's also signed, again, a monster contract. I'm sure he would like to earn. This is the generationally enriching money. And all of a sudden, he makes one moment where he plays instinctively instead of carefully. And it's understandable. And now all of a sudden that's in question again. Does he want to go through the rest of his life? Like, what else is he going to do? Does he want to go through the rest of his life as, okay, Tua, you're fill in the blank, but you're the guy who retired due to concussions. You're the concussion guy, right? And again, I understand. You'd rather be the concussion guy than somebody who can't stand guy, right?
Well, obviously.
Like, that goes without saying.
No doubt.
It is so difficult to wrap your arms around even the concept of this conversation. You know, Susie was so taken aback by how quickly everybody took a knee last night. The Bills, too, because everybody knew. If there's any team that's that's attuned to how quickly you can go from game mode to, oh my God, this is life mode. Clearly, it's the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. But it was instantaneous last night.
Right. I mean, you could see everybody.
Guys were just immediately like waving the training staff.
They took a knee and they took off their helmets, and everybody knew what was happening in the moment. And if you're sitting here saying, well, Tua should just remind himself to be more careful, I mean, how do you play quarterback that way? Which is another reason why, if that's the way you've got to play quarterback, maybe you shouldn't play quarterback anymore. And again, I know Mike McDaniel asked for this conversation not to be had, but this is the national conversation today. 100%.
What was happening last night in the immediate aftermath, people were speculating. Players, Shannon Sharp and others, were like, Tony Gonzalez said it on the post game. It's time to think about retiring.
My phone blew up with people texting me saying he should retire. What do you think, Rich?
Yeah.
And again, you were one of them, you know, and I'm like, first of all, I'm not him. Secondly, you know, I'm sure he loves to play. Like, this is who he is. And I don't have the answer, but the general sense is, how could he come back and play? I mean, this is another moment like this. Now, he could be waking up this morning and just, I feel great. And he can pass a concussion protocol in a couple of days, and he'll be out there for the Dolphins and in their next game after the mini bye at Seattle. But if you're not supposed to fly with, you know, these symptoms or whatever, I mean, that's the longest flight you can have domestically in the National Football League is Miami to Seattle. I mean, and again, it just seems weird to have these conversations, but the number of people that have said to me and just texted me, you know, one of them is, and I'll say this here too, is our friend Eric Stone Street. You know what he texted me? He texted me, Tua should retire and become the quarterback of the flag football team and win the Olympics.
That's incredible.
And what I an thought idea. To myself, okay, you know, with all due respect to the quarterback of the flag football team, who's definitely been talking about his game recently, but Tua should retire and be the quarterback of the United States' first ever Olympic flag football team, come here to Los Angeles, win the gold medal for the United States, and start preparing for it right now. Now, that is not what Tua Tagovailoa thought his future would be when he put his Tua on the contract that he just signed. And you know how he hasn't come out and said it, but everything that he's been saying and the manner in which he's been saying, he's very proud of that contract and proud of earning it and the respect that he has gained through being paid like that. And I don't know how he's going to be waking up and feeling. And as Mike McDaniel said, we can all have our opinions, but there's only one guy who can make this decision, and we have to respect it because he's earned that respect from us. And it's Tua Tagovailoa. Who, man, I mean, can the football gods just protect this guy or what, right? I mean, ever since he looked off that safety and tossed that touchdown coming in the middle of the game of a national championship game for Alabama, and then he suffers that awful hip injury.
Yeah, it's been one thing after another since
after
that hip
another.
Injury. Yeah. And I know it's his decision, but at some point you got to save someone from themselves. He's a football player. He's a warrior, et cetera, et cetera. He's going to want to play. You know he's going to want to play. He's going to want to play in 10 days. Can't let him do it. Save him from himself.
Yeah, I had an opinion until what Coach just said. It's like, it'd be wrong for anyone to sit there and already decide what his future is. To say
but
he
I mean,
should
you
do
could,
this or
you
that.
Could say, but again, my
initial thought was that football's great. It's awesome. You know, we all love football. We all love to talk about football and watch. But you know what's even better is being able to, you know, play with your kids when you're 40, 50, to have, you know, conscious thoughts when you're in your 60s, 70s, and 80s. And to see that hit, that hit wouldn't even register amongst the hardest hits of the day, probably.
Of the game. Yes.
He ran into a guy, the one person on that field who did not want to blow him up.
Oh,
out of everyone out there, every player, he took on a guy who was probably of the mindset, like, I don't want to blast this dude. And when you watch him hit him, you said he basically hit Hamlin in his bicep and his neck snapped. Hamlin was almost like he was doing a trust fall with Tua. Like, he didn't go to blast him. It was almost like he was holding him up, trying to catch him as he was falling into him. This was seemingly just visually as harmless of a hit as you could have, and yet you see what happened.
Yeah, it seemed kind of fluky.
It seemed kind of, and my thought is this, if you can get a concussion from that, then what happens when a 300-pounder really is barreling down on your blind side and he hits you? Like, and then how many concussions do you get before you finally go, before, you know, your wife and your kids and your family are like, we can't take this
anymore. But even before the hit, you were watching the play develop and you saw the hole open up. You're like, oh, he's going to run for it and get a first down.
I thought he was going to slide.
Just slide, bro.
Brian, no.
And then you see him go, you know, kind of lean forward. You're like, oh, please, please, God, no.
It was like slow motion. Yeah. It was. And I you know, just my heart is with him.
Totally.
He's a good dude. Doesn't deserve to have this happen or the national conversation involve him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this manner.
And if you watched Hard Knocks with the Dolphins, I'm telling you what, if you came out of that with anything but the most amount of love for Tua, then you need to go back and rewatch it. The dude is amazing.
I think also it's the second time this has happened on Thursday night where it's the only game. They're solo. And then there's all the Friday shows to talk about it and react to it. And it doesn't help.
Well,
doesn't
help if this was a Sunday, it would still be the
best.
I understand what both you guys are saying. And I understand why Mike McDaniel is saying what he's saying. But clearly this is the national conversation. And I understand why he's staying out of it. Yeah, he's the coach,
He made a good point.
He's the coach. Yeah. And I understand why he answered it the way that he did. And that photograph of him kissing him on the head. Just to wrap this up, it is just so moving. It is just a genuine sign of affection. It is the way Mike McDaniel coaches. It is a 21st century way of coaching players that is respected in the NFL. You can have your say about McDaniel as a coach, X's and O's and all that stuff. But that right there, and of course, of all the places for him to kiss him on the head, where whatever was going on with his brain on the other side of that skull, we were only left to guess and what he's thinking in between those temples right now. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the Bills, more football, and your calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tom Pelissero, middle of hour, top of hour number two. Can't wait to hear what his reporting is, first blush on Tua's mindset and clearly what's going on with his actual mind. Are you struggling to close deals? Business to business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. Hey, everybody, you know we're living in a new age of football with the expanded college football playoff, NIL, conference realignment, and increasing popularity of the draft. The landscape is changing, and it's changing quickly, and it can be confusing, but you know you're still into it. That's where the new podcast, The Triple Option, comes in. Each week, Heisman Trophy winner Mark Ingram, host Rob Stone, and three-time national champion coach Urban Meyer team up to bring on the biggest guests in college football, pro football, and anything related to the culture of the game. They cover it all, from top stories to recent changes and shifts in the game, the culture surrounding it, and everything in between. So get in the game today. Follow and subscribe to the Triple Option on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Watch the Triple Option on YouTube as well. New episodes drop Wednesday mornings. Say goodbye to complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping, and say hello to an advantage with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Every business faces challenges, but shipping shouldn't be one of them. So keep things simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges for Saturday deliveries, residential deliveries, or fuel. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there, helping you counter the rising costs of doing business with a budget-friendly alternative. And keep things reliable with on-time ground shipping, ensuring your shipments get to where they need to go while maintaining your hard-earned reputation. USPS Ground Advantage is your ticket to easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. It's the complete delivery service your business needs to rise above the competition. There's never been a better time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. Back here on the Roku Sports Channel, and 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. It looks like Adam's going to be a little busy back there today, and we greatly appreciate that. Before all the Tua stuff was happening, were you going back and forth between Thursday night and Yanks Red Sox, or are you tapped out on the Red Sox?
I have a two TV situation in the living room,
so you did that.
So I was watching both.
Don't disrespect him like that, Rich.
I'm not. No, I don't think it's disrespectful.
No, I mean, Brockman's like, he's got his set up, bro. He doesn't need to
go back.
I was
also very angry with the way it ended, obviously. Also, just offense in general in Major League Baseball is really bad. No one can hit.
It's not that no one can hit. It's just everyone can throw like 95. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was going to be my question.
See ball, hit ball, like hit the ball. Like, come on. You guys are professionals.
How are you hitting skeins, though, bro?
You're literally paid hitters. Just hit.
It just seems like the number of arms in the pen that just come out and can throw where their change up is in like the high 80s, low 90s.
You're in the fantasy playoffs, right, for baseball?
Yes.
Yeah. My hitters went 2 for 21 yesterday.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Jeez.
But what about your opponent?
4 for 24. Like, yeah. Nobody hit.
Wow.
Okay. Like, what are we doing?
It's going to get tighter. Which was it? The Mariners and who went to extras? Was it the Rays and the Mariners last year? They had an extra inning playoff game because there's no ghost runners in baseball till like 16th inning.
Yeah, it was very long
because everybody can come out of the pen and throw a gajillion miles an hour.
It's just it's a rough watch. A lot of nights.
I hear you. I'm beginning to feel it. I'm beginning to feel October around the corner.
Yeah, maybe. For sure. I mean, last night, 1-1 game in Yankee Stadium. Oh. Goes to extra innings. I mean, that's what you want.
And by the way, Joe Davis and Smoltz are a great listen.
Yeah.
Smoltz is, I mean, I'll listen to him talk baseball any day of the week.
Both of them are great.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We obviously were talking about Tua and what happened to him and what's going to happen with him next to start the program. But let's just, if you will, turn the page to the football conversation here. I took a little bit of the cheese, a lot of the cheese, that the Bills were different and this was the year to go get him. And they have slapped a lot of sense into people, and I'm one of them, because last night they came in to Hard Rock Stadium with Stephon Diggs in Houston and Gabe Davis in Jacksonville in the northern part of the state, and Jordan Poyer on the other sideline, and Trey White here in Los Angeles. And it did not matter. Well, first of all, you could say it's because they have Josh Allen. That's an easy way to put it, understandable way to put it, an accurate way to put it. But look at his numbers last night.
pretty pedestrian.
He didn't go and light up the night.
Nope.
They didn't have to. And it's kind of funny. Like, again, the Tua interceptions before the pick six, we were going back and forth on our text exchange about that. I didn't think they were on Tua. I didn't. I know Kirk Herbstreit called it an overthrow on his second one. Robbie Chosen just slipped and stopped running his route. And I think Tua was throwing it to the spot where he thought Robbie Chosen was going to be. The first one, hit his receiver right in the shoulder pad. You make an argument it was the wrong shoulder pad, but it still hit him in the shoulder pad. And if you're a professional football player and a ball is going to hit your shoulder pad, you should catch it. Or certainly, put your hands up. But his receiver turned his head at the late. And the same thing, everybody's still working together offensively for not the first time now, but just without a lot of preseason, without a lot of activity here, just like everyone else. And Bills didn't have that problem. They were on the same page. And you know what page James Cook was on last night?
Touchdown page.
Well, he was on the I was having flashbacks. Because this is the stadium in which the Georgia Bulldog, James Cook, was running all over the Michigan Wolverines in the Orange Bowl.
True.
I'm like, I've seen that before in the stadium. man, that 46-yarder, he just ran right up the middle, go to the sideline, and he gone.
Not even close.
But the first one, that one, he didn't do anything particularly spectacular. But what the Bills did was...
play call is amazing.
What the Bills did was, we're not just going to settle for a field goal here, take our 3 points and play defense. Sean McDermott, play, don't do anything too crazy. Defensive-minded coach. We got Tua where we need him. We already picked one off. We'll do it again. They went for it on 4th and 3 after calling timeout when whatever they were calling didn't work. I thought to myself, all right, now they call timeout. Here comes the field goal. They came out and they threw it. James Cook wide open. Touchdown, 7-0, right in your face.
Yeah, Josh Allen said in the postgame, he called the timeout, didn't like the look that they had, went back to the sideline and said, let's go for it. They're going to play cover 0. This play is going to be open. And sure enough, it worked.
It was.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. It was. And that just set the tone. Set the tone on the night. And I don't know. Tyreek Hill was coming off the field quite a bit. I know Cooper has Tyreek in his fantasy team, so he was very keen to see what his whereabouts are.
So is Jay Felly.
It just was off from the very beginning with Miami. They didn't have Raheem Mostert, I understand, but the Bills didn't have a ton. Like, Matt Milano's out again.
Achane was killing it last night.
He did well enough. But the Bills, what I'm saying is just remarkable.
Also, Von Miller is back.
Five days into the season, the team that a lot of us, including me, thought was ready, ripe for the plucking. Now you got to go beat them. And now they've got a road win against the Dolphins already in their back pocket. The Bills are going home to take on Jacksonville in next week's Monday Nighter. So they're just kicking back at 2-0 with a mini bye and an extra day on top of it. And then at Baltimore, at Houston, at the Jets. I mean, that's quite a three-game roadie right there. So it would be helpful to be 3-0 going into it. But 2-0 is really good. And they scored 30 points in both their first two games, and I understand the defense added last night and gave some short fields to the offense, but guess what? Didn't think the Bills might come out of week two with the most points collectively in the National Football League, and they're in line to do it. Mm-hmm. Well, the Saints can add to their 47, maybe not against the Dallas Cowboys, but that said,
come on.
Sean McDermott had this to say. You'd think he'd like to spike the football a little bit, but you know what? We're marathoning. We're not sprinting.
Yeah, again, we've got a lot of new players and whatnot, and you're never really sure. There's so many unknowns starting a season. And, you know, we come back the first week of the season and win. And I think that was a step for us, for any team, to be able to say that you can do that. You can play in close games. And then this game, being able to come down here on a short week, to your point, at their place and play like we did. We played our style of football, and I think we've got things to do to work and get some rest, like I said, but continuing to groove our football and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to become.
Hats off, man. And you know what's missing also from the Bills that I think is benefiting them?
Stephon Diggs?
No. I'm not going to say that. Expectation. They're under the radar. Every year, though, the Bills are like, is this the year they're going to finally do it? Is this the year they're finally going to do it? Because they've got one of the best quarterbacks, and he's just, you know, wait till he's in that tough spot. They'll fold. They'll get beat. This year, it's just, well, no one expected it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of powerful. And I think, even being 2-0, enough people are going to be sitting there going, well, let's see more of it. And that's going to be the backdrop of the next month. And we will not only be looking to see it, but we'll have no choice but to look at it, because their next game is a Monday nighter home for Jacksonville. The game after that is a Sunday nighter at Baltimore. And then the game at Houston is just a regular straight-up Sunday afternoon, and then the game after that is at the Jets on a Monday night. So we will be seeing a lot of Buffalo Bills football as the pressure appears to be off, and they're just going to just go about their merry way and let everybody keep talking about who's not there, and they'll just be putting up W's and eating them. Matt in Oklahoma, let's give it up to him right now. Matt, you got to be out of your gourd right now, sir.
Well, it kind of, I felt bad for two. I think it's retirement. It really put a bummer on it, because I was ready to really call in with kind of a lot of piss and vinegar.
Just the fact that you do it has nothing to do, and I appreciate you front loading your call to us. But
yeah, I have one of my oldest friends is a Dolphins fan. We went back and forth, and as soon as it happened, I was like, no, I don't want to see that.
Of course not.
Takes it out of it. But, you know, I wondered about you. You know, you were kicking dirt on my Bills all offseason. All you guys. I wonder, are you going to switch your pickup now to the Jets, the division? Or are you going to jump on the Bills bandwagon? Or how's that going to work?
Matt, here's what I'm doing. Okay. I am coming on the air. By the way, I'm pushing back about all offseason. It really wasn't until, like, the last 2-3 weeks before the season began where I'm like, I've got to make a choice here. Am I going to just say, screw it, the Bills are doing it again, or am I going to just go ahead and believe in what my eyes are seeing, which is the Dolphins should be better, they're faster, and I need to see what the Bills are going to do first, and I had to make a choice, and I chose the Dolphins instead of the Bills, so I'll just stick with it, you know, and I'm not going to, if I had to choose anybody right now, of course I would take the Bills, not just because they're 2-0 and the Jets might be 1-1 or 0-2.
We both know that in your heart, without saying it slammed, you know you want the Jets.
Well,
we both know that.
No.
You can hear it in your voice. I know it. I don't think Aaron Rodgers finished the season either. I hope he does.
Whoa.
But the only person that was on my side last night, I was listening to the pregame, was Fitzmagic, you know, and everybody else was just kicking dirt on my Bills. Just keep kicking dirt on them. It's okay. I like being the underdog. It's fine.
That's what my point is, Matt. Like, the pressure's off. Like, nobody expected them to do it, and it would be.
I've had my heart broke by every kind of way imaginable in the last 38 years, so there's nothing going to bother me.
No, but let's see, again, in the next 4 weeks, you know, what happens, because there's going to be a lot of opponents that that you're going to have to beat in order to. And thanks for the call, Matt. Good to chat with you again. I'm glad you brought the P&V today. You know, these are teams: Jacksonville, Miami, Baltimore, Houston, and potentially the Jets, that you're going to have to, that it would be nice to have head-to-head wins against when you're talking about your future late in December. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. To get those train whistles going, you know? And so they're looking good. And I'll tell you what, as long as Allen is upright and doing his Mandalorian quarterback thing, and he's got somebody like James Cook killing it. And Dalton Kincaid is beginning to come into his own inning.
You can see he's open early on last night, so that helps.
And Khalil Shakir is going to start, you know, Shakir's showing nice. Up, yeah. Right? And we'll see what happens with Coleman and Keon. But last night they didn't need him.
Didn't need him.
Didn't need him.
Game's over early third quarter.
Because Cook was cooking, and so was the defense.
Yeah.
And Jared and I mean Josh Allen is just as great as they come in the NFL. I mean, the stat line didn't light up anybody's fantasy league, but just keep racking up the wins, keep coming up with W's against teams that you don't expect the Bills to beat, and suddenly you might have the most valuable player in Western New York. We'll take a break. I've got my top five list of other games in the week to marquee since we're turning pages, and then Tom Pelissero, top of hour number two. What's more likely, Friday in hour two, Saquon Barkley hour three, Taron Killam in studio, and we'll get you set for your weekend. That's how we're rolling. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better, because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, Ladidi McConkey and Balake
Karum.
Darake Maye.
Balake.
Oh, my God.
You want to go to war, Balake?
Are we going to war, Balake? You want to go to war, Balake?
I mean, when we put the reel together, I reached out to the great Jake Culp of Be Known Agency.
So funny.
And we were going back and forth of what, because I wanted that reel that you see on Instagram to include just a quick clip of the actual sketch from Key and Peele with Keegan Michael Key.
Yeah, just in case you're not familiar.
Right. And so we went back and forth about what to use and didn't want the Balake moment to be used to reveal the Balake quorum later on in our.
Yeah.
Plus, in that part of the sketch, you don't hear the actor who plays Blake say, "You mean Blake?"
All right, right.
So we chose the one where
Jaqueline.
Jaqueline.
And Jake included the reaction from Mr. Garvey, which is him dropping the clipboard and go, "Okay.
Okay.
So that's the way it's going to be."
Jaqueline.
Jaqueline.
The Keegan-Michael Key brings his A++ game every time,
and he made it so effortless too.
Well, because he's brilliant.
Yeah,
he's brilliant. He's as great and as funny as they come. He's a technician.
He's surgical.
He's quick.
He's quick, and he's just a great human. He's just delightful to be around. Yeah. He likes to laugh. Likes to have a good time. And
he's a Penn State fan, so that's cool.
G-Reg Zerillion is G-Reg. Kicking for the Chiefs. That one got me the most.
Well, G-Reg Zerillion. Chauncey McLaughlin, it was my favorite. That was just the best.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network with our Roku channel feed. Oh my gosh, we were just recalling Keegan-Michael Key here yesterday, man. So good.
And I had just picked up Chase McLaughlin yesterday morning as my kicker, so it was even double funny.
Well, gents, you ready for the rest of week two? And the way to do it is Sunday Ticket, NFL Sunday Ticket, and YouTube TV.
Bundle
it together. You get the most live games all in one place, but that is not all. Watch up to four NFL games at once with their signature multi-view feature. It's a game changer for NFL and fantasy football fans alike. Coop's buddy Ryan, I think, is coming over this weekend. And Ryan, I'll set the over-under on the number of his fantasy teams at 12. I'm serious.
Like, as much as his age?
It's a 13-year-old boy. I would say, and I would take the over. I'm telling you. And that's why you've got it. And I'm sure everybody knows folks like that. Sign up today at youtube.com/NFLST. Device and content restrictions apply. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games. So that's what's all coming up. I've got my top five list. Top five games to look forward to for the rest of week two. Hit it, please. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, here we go. I need my theme music, please, Jay Felly.
You say miss.
I don't know if anybody's feeling this, but it's 2-1-0 teams facing each other. And after he slayed the MetLife Ghosts, Sam Darnold's going for 2-0 against the team that's going to be credited for rehabilitating his career, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
That Kevin O'Connell got a much better quarterback to work with, a much better lump of clay to mold, thanks to the San Francisco 49ers. And the 49ers are coming in. And it's a short week on the road. Remember I told you about the Jets? I'm concerned about the Jets going into Tennessee and coming out with a win. Not just because Tennessee's really good. Or better than people think. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But when you play on a Monday night and you got to travel the next week, that ain't easy. Certainly if you're the road team. The home team, it's, you know, at least you're staying at home. You don't have a flight after that Monday night game right away. But here we go. Niners getting on the road, short week in Minnesota. And here comes Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson and Aaron Jones. And we'll see how much better. Wouldn't that be something to set up? By the way, Sam Darnold and the Vikings versus the Jets week 5 in London on NFL Network. I'll be in the booth for that with Kurt Warner. Just to set up, okay, hey, you know, let me show everybody how it's much better done against the Niners. You know, I'm just coming up with ways that Sam Darnold could psych himself up. I'm excited to see this. Somebody's going to be 2-0. Will it be the defending NFC champs or could it possibly be the Minnesota Vikings? Ooh. Number 4 on this list, Sunday Night Football. I'm putting them 4 on the list. Bears-Texans. Okay, let's see you, Caleb Williams. Let's see you on the road for the first time as a professional quarterback. Let's see how much better you can improve, what the leap is from week 1 to week 2. Okay. Tough to make that leap against a Texans team that plays pretty darn good defense. But the Colts put some points on them last week. The Colts were able to move the ball on them last week. Let's see what Keenan Allen and DJ Moore is going to do. Roma Dunze is, I would imagine, questionable for this game. And we'll see if the Texans can improve to 2-0.
Yeah, Keenan Allen, too, has been banged up.
That's correct. Yeah. Let's see if the Texans can take advantage of that. If they can keep Caleb Williams looking like a rookie. Don't forget, though, too, C.J. Stroud started last year, his rookie season 0-2.
Yeah.
And they were one of only 9 0-2 teams to make the playoffs last year. And the Texans won the division. So let's see what the Bears can do here to go to 1-1 or 2-0. And then let's see what the Houston Texans can do to maybe go to 2-0, the exact opposite of last year's start. Number 3 on this list. After we saw them in their season opener, review the time of the playoffs that was in the wild card round. After that wild card rematch, now we see a divisional rematch. Lions hosting the Bucks. Who's going to 2-0, baby? Two division winners from last year. Baker freaking Mayfield. Coming off of that dynamite start.
Baker Mayfield.
4 touchdowns for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. Now here comes the Bucks to Detroit to try and avenge last year's loss. Can they put their card on the table and say, we have taken a step forward? Everybody thinks the Lions are going to take a step forward to the Super Bowl, which they can still do even if they lose this one. But I can't wait to see this. Bucks and Lions. Early window on Fox. Number two on this list is the Monday Nighter. I'm looking forward to seeing how the Eagles do in their home opener, fresh back from Brazil. And the Atlanta Falcons, I would imagine we call this must-win mode. Because if they fall to 0-2, guess who's coming to town on a short week next week? The Kansas City Chiefs. OMG. So can Kirk Cousins, who, by the way, there was a video of him booting out in practice yesterday, and a lot of folks were talking about how he's not really got much of a burst or any giddy up. And again, this is just practice, people. It's just practice.
What
but
are we talking about?
One guy that might be an issue for him is Jalen Carter, right there in front of him. This is after T.J. Watt. He dealt with him. And that's the way for a 36-year-old to come back from Achilles. It would be great to see the Falcons win for Falcons fans and their hopes to take their division. And, of course, I can't wait to see what the Eagles do in their home opener and to see how they follow up that win against the Packers. Saquon Barkley in hour three of this program. Number one on the list, you betcha. Bengals Chiefs, baby. Here we go. Here we go. Let's see it. Ja'Marr Chase says the Bengals are the team to beat in the AFC. They just haven't played like it yet. And here comes the two-time defending Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, following up that Thursday night opener, nice and ready and rested. Will Ja'Marr Chase still be on a pitch count? I don't think T. Higgins is going to play in this game. We'll see if that's possible. But in case you don't believe that Ja'Marr Chase said it, here's the proof. Roll it.
Everybody knows that, bro. It's not no if, you know what I'm saying? We are the team to be in the AFC, and we know it, and we got to act like it, and we got to play like it, too.
Okay.
Okay,
Jim. I'm so excited. In Burrow and in Arrowhead.
Burrowhead.
Let me tell you something. Chiefs fans are feeling it. Why not? They're living their best lives. Back-to-back Super Bowl champions.
Yeah. I can feel it.
Mahomes. Kelsey, right. Xavier Worthy,
life is good.
Chris
for
Jones,
fans.
Andy Reid, that you get a Super Bowl, you get a Super Bowl. I feel like I'm Oprah, right?
Hey.
But deep down, fourth quarter, Joe Burrow's got the ball. There'll be a pit in some people's stomachs in that Arrowhead Stadium.
Can we go back to Arrowhead?
Regardless,
it is so fun.
It is an amazing place to see a game. Fans are. It's like again a college atmosphere. It was awesome.
It was great.
Which is why I can't wait. Jim Nance, what the football guest this week with Susie and Amy? He's fired up to go there too. He was talking about this game with them. Everybody should seek out that pod, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Do you think we need one more?
Why not?
All right, we'll get one more.
Okay, I'm going to go with this one, even though it's two 0-1 teams.
Oh, I thought it was Patriots Seahawks.
No, oh. I wasn't going there.
Oh, so it's definitely not the Cowboys.
No. I got to see what Malik Willis looks like, guys.
Malik.
I got to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
I got to see what the Packers look like, because this game, I'm imagining, will be a bellwether of what the next 2 to 3 weeks are if Jordan Love takes that long to come back. I'm encouraged by the fact the Packers have not IR'd Jordan Love.
Yeah.
So that they're thinking maybe if it's the 3 weeks, he'll come back. But if it's just 3 weeks, guess what? You got to play two games without
yeah, exactly.
him, including one at Tennessee. And so I'll go Colts-Packers as a game I'm looking forward to seeing. And seeing Anthony Richardson in Lambeau Field, that's just going to be fun.
Yeah, that's just going to be fun.
Right?
Yeah.
And, of course, a return of a Wisconsin Badger in Jonathan Taylor. So that's my top five list, and that's hour one. Tom Pelissero on what is going on in Green Bay and what is happening with Tua and so much more when we come back in hour number two. You know, Chris, every single time this happens – I understand why you were described as an actor a couple of years ago.
Thank you. Yeah.
In the charity tournament.
Yeah, with Kevin Rahm.
Kevin Rahm's charity tournament.
Down in Florida.
Right,
yeah.
Down in Florida.
Yeah, it was just last year.
Because I don't know if you guys noticed. Do you notice this? I enjoy it. Please don't stop doing it. I maybe shouldn't talk about it. But every single time the drop of one more hits,
you know, and then she could take Chris. Chris does some sort of, like, you know how you see in a school play, the kids in a school play when they're milling about in the back and they're supposed to be talking and they're over emoting.
Yes.
You know, every single time it's one more. Chris just
hit the drive. This is what it's
okay.
What
okay, go. Yeah, this is, yeah, here we go. I'll give you one more. Yeah, go ahead.
You think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
I'm just shocked. There's always one more.
I appreciate the effort.
No problem. By the way, the camera is never on me, but I do it anyway.
I know,
see it every time.
Which is great. You see it every time, right? Yeah. I see it every time. I'm looking at you.
There's one more.
I just like that you act surprised. Like, yeah, there isn't one
more. I'm shocked.
Oh my God. We almost always do one more. Like, that should be your look right there. Can you take him, please? There we go.
Just normal.
That should be, right. That should be your look when there's not one more.
Yeah.
And then you should do your thing. Right.
He does that. And I wonder, oh, was I not supposed to hit it?
There you go.
You see, you're not looking this way. I think he and I both are just like, oh, like what?
So thanks for the effort, Chris. Actor Chris Brockman.
I mean, the Emmys are this weekend. You know,
and
I mean?
Scene. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
A 2023 last place team will win a playoff game this year.
I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals to be that team. If you gave me
safe bet.
If you said two last place teams, I might say that's an overreaction. Come react or overreact with us. This one makes it much easier. Very so fun. Thank you for making it easier.
Well, tune in next week.
Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen.